And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be talking about secrets. This is volume 199 of Secrets. These are the kind of things that, you know, you just don't hear, you don't read about in your newspapers or whatever. Certainly, you're not going to hear about them much on Fox News or MSNBC or CNN. But we do it here. Why? Because I think you need all the news. And some of these things are much more important than the silly things that you hear on network television. For example, immigration. You know, I'm in Austin, Texas, the capital of the state of Texas, and nobody around here wants to talk much about illegal aliens. We got plenty of them in the state of Texas. The ranchers down south are being crowded out by illegals coming across the border, but our great governor, the guy that said, whoops, Rick Perry, he's all for it. He's a big immigration guy. Seems like all the Republicans and Democrats are for illegal immigration, and none of them are for enforcing the law. Well, there is a big Texas-sized silence in our state legislature. It's absolutely incredible. By the way, Secretary of State, former Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, you know, Bush's, I don't know what you'd call her. She's the gal that warned about those mushroom clouds from Saddam Hussein that did not exist. Of course, we know that. Well, she's chairing a committee to oversee an overhaul of the nation's immigration laws and a path to citizenship for all those millions of illegal immigrants in the United States. Yeah, Condoleezza Rice, you know. Oh, you know, most of the people that Bush had with him in office were all homosexuals, like Condoleezza Rice. She lives with a woman. But you'd never know that from the press, would you? Then there's Karl Rove. Well, he's, you know, seen out with the men, if you know what I mean. And then there's George W. himself. Well, a lot of things about him, I'll tell you. But anyway, immigration. Texas doesn't really care about its citizens. We're more than happy to have all of these illegals. Why? Even Senator Ted Cruz, the Israeli toady, he's for it. Jeb Bush, of course, he's always been for it. And then there's Ron Paul's son, Rand Paul. You know, Rand Paul is not anything like Ron Paul. When you go to Rand Paul's campaign page, his website, you find some interesting things. For one thing, he's a big Zionist freak. Now, Ron Paul was fair to both sides, the Palestinians and the Israelis. For being fair and objective, he was often called anti-Semite. But his son, well, as far as he's concerned, the Palestinians don't even exist. It's all pro-Israel for Rand Paul. He wants to be president. He knows why his dad didn't get elected president, because he wasn't pro-Israel enough. He's not going to make the same mistake, nor is he going to make the same mistake in immigration. The Jewish groups are the ones that run the immigration system, believe me. They're the ones that tell America's policymakers what to do. And Rand Paul has just given a speech at the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. You may not have known there was a U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, but there is one, and he gave a speech there, and he changed his whole immigration views. Now that he thinks, you know, I might really be president, I might really, in 2016, I might get in there and get that nomination. Suddenly, he says he changed all of his views. He's just as pro illegal immigrant as Barack Obama is. In fact, he and Barack Obama ought to, I mean, they could be in bed together. I mean, you know, wow. You know, I haven't discussed this yet. I only have these secrets about once a month, but aren't you just a little bit sick of Tim Tebow? Now, Tim Tebow was given millions of dollars and all that credit by Christians. Christian evangelicals thought the guy was a great guy because he's pro-life. But, you know, that's about all the guy is pro-life. He's not anything else. I mean, well, he was invited to speak at the First Baptist Church in Dallas. And then the liberals put a real rush on him. You're going to speak there? Why, the pastor of the First Baptist Church, by the way, that's an 11,000 member church. Now, senior pastor Robert Jeffress tells the truth about a lot of things. For one thing, he says homosexuals are not right with God. They're not. Of course, that's why we had Sodom and Gomorrah, wouldn't it? Because of the homosexual activity there. And Jeffries has addressed this issue to his congregation. He also says that Islam and Judaism are heretical religions, quote, from the pit of hell. Well, he's right. If you've read my Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, you know how evil Judaism is. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, he told the Jews of his period. Things haven't changed at all. The Encyclopedia Judaica says that the Pharisees of Jesus' day are the Orthodox Jews of today. Well, I give Pastor Jeffress a lot of credit for these things. He's just been sticking up for the Lord. He's been sticking up for truth. But that's not very good in a society that is now changing. Recent opinion polls show that a majority now believe homosexuality is just okie-dokie. Well, Tebow disinvited himself when he got criticized for this. You see, he says, I don't go for controversy. You know, I don't want to do that. So he just disinvited himself. He wrote the pastor a letter and said, you know, I'd rather not get involved. Isn't that great? Here's a big football guy, twice All-American. Twice he won the Heisman Trophy. And now the New York Jets' Tim Tebow shows himself to be a coward. He can't even take a little public criticism. Tim, why don't you come on down here to Austin, Texas and see Tex Mars? I'll show you what criticism is. I get it all the time. It's just like, you know, going off a duck's back. I don't bother with it at all. I mean, I have people calling me names continually. I'm a homophobe. I'm a Judeophobe. I'm every kind of a phobe you can imagine. I laugh at them. I do. I have fun. I wouldn't even feel normal if I woke up on a given day and didn't see an email criticizing me. I think I didn't do something right that day. Now, Tim Tebow gets a few emails. He's been getting all this applause for so long. He just thought he was a little God on earth, and suddenly he's going to this church. I mean, it's a privilege to be invited to this big church to speak to Christians. But he didn't want that privilege because he was criticized by the liberal press. How can you possibly associate with a church like that? So he cut off his nose to spite his face and sent a letter down and said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there. I didn't know you people believe in stuff like that. Says big, strong Heisman Tim Tebow. Oh, yes. What a coward. Tim Tebow, come to Austin, Texas. You're a coward. Come speak to me. I'll tell you what you are to your face. Now, I know you wrote a book and you and your mother or something about, you know, you should have been aborted, but you weren't, and now you're pro-life. That's great. That's only one issue. There are many more. And you butted out here. You ran for the mountains with your tail between your legs. I mean, you're really a coward, Tim Tebow. That's sad. That's very, very sad. Hey, you seen the new Newsweek cover? The headline just, boy, it said, "You're old, you're white, you're history." Wow. You're old, you're white, you're history. I don't think we are at all. You know, these are the people that always bring race into something, aren't they? Newsweek, "You're old, you're white, you're history." And guess what? Almost the same week they wrote this, they quit producing their magazine. Not enough audience. Now they're fixing to go to the web. They don't have enough people reading it. So Newsweek, "You're old, you're liberal, and you're history." That's just the way it goes. Well, remember Chandra Levy? Chandra Levy is a very special case. Jewish girl. She was an intern in the office of Gary Condit, the congressman from California. And her remains, her bodily remains, were found in 2002 in a heavily wooded area of Washington's Rock Creek Park. Now, I told you at the time that I would explain exactly what happened there. Now, I told you that you would find her body at Rock Creek Park. Now, I have my reasons. They're occultic reasons. I know what goes on at Rock Creek Park. Satanic things go on there. And I had heard from a very reliable source that her body was there, or what was left of her body. She was sacrificed in a horrible ritual. Now, they found a man and decided to convict him because, you know, Gary Condit was a big, powerful guy, and all these people were covering it all up. So they got a guy from Colombia, an illegal immigrant, named Ingmar Guandique. Ingmar Guandique. And they claimed that somebody in his prison cell, his prison mate there, his jailhouse informant, a friend, had told on him. Of course, you can get, you know, they put you in a jailhouse, and it's always the guy that you're in the cell with that tells it all. He said that Guandique confessed to him. Of course, he had a reason to tell him about the confession, didn't he? He wanted to make sure he got out of jail or charges dropped or whatever. So they hauled old poor old Ingmar Guandique into court, and they found him guilty. Now, the reason he was found guilty was because that jailmate of his, the guy that said Guandique had told him what he had done, that he had seen her jogging there in the park, and that he killed her, raped her. But now it turns out that the jailmate lied. And all along, the government has been hiding the evidence. This is the news item from the Associated Press. Now, it turns out that during the trial, the government said that because of national security, certain documents could not be released, and they were not. Now, when is it ever a case that a murder case hides the documents? Now, it turns out this so-called, you know, witness statement is false. And the attorneys of Ingmar Guandique, who's accused of killing Chandra Levy, who did not kill her, has filed an appeal. He said the prosecution is predicated on a lie. He wants a new trial. But prosecutors have asked the judge to continue to seal the hearing evidence. Evidently, this witness lied, and that drastically undercuts the government's case. Mr. Guandique's lawyers say Mr. Guandique and the public have a right to know precisely what happened at Mr. Guandique's trial and why the government allowed its prosecution to be predicated on a lie. Wow. Significant portions of the so-called public records are blacked out. sometimes for pages. Now, I've never heard of a case like this. A guy is accused of raping and killing a young 24-year-old intern. And many months after she's found, her remains are found, this guy's rushed for trial because his prison mate said he told me he did it. Now the guy was lying all along. Well, it's a shame, isn't it? Anyway. Hey, the TSA, the Transportation Safety Administration. You go in to ride the plane, you have to show your ID and make sure you're not on a no-fly list and take off your shoes and take off your belt and all your jewelry, and you can't even have any water. You can't have any cookies. I mean, you can't have anything. No food, no nothing. And some of you, they shun aside and stick some machine on you and take you off to a side room and make you strip, sir. I mean, it's just horrible what's going on. Well, the TSA, it appears like the United States is the only one that's been doing this. Now, I don't know why terrorists can't get on board an aircraft in Rome or Paris or London or Iceland or Cyprus or somewhere where they don't do all this searching and commandeer an airplane and go crash it into some big public building somewhere. I mean, there are 180 countries in the world. 180 countries, and airlines fly all over the world crisscrossing. And yet the United States has been the only one chosen by the terrorist. Even Israel, Lily Pure Israel, has been protected. They've got big skyscrapers there in Tel Aviv, in other cities in Israel. They've never been hit. Why is it that some terrorists don't get on an airplane in Cairo and within 20 minutes they're flying over Tel Aviv and they smash into a building? Why hasn't that happened? Well, I promise you, friends, it will never happen. Because Israel controls the terrorist, or this terrorist incident of 9/11. Well, the TSA rules about knives, bats, clubs on airplanes seem to conflict with the international rules. So they're trying to bring everything together in the New World Order. Everybody should have the same rules. So now the TSA, after all these years of strip searching and making 90-year-old women in wheelchairs, you know, show their private party. It's just horrible what they've been doing. But now they've reversed themselves, dear friends. Now they say it's okay to take knives. Even switchblade knives. Bats, clubs on an airplane. You can take a club onto an airplane that's no more than 24 inches. 24-inch club or a bat. You can take all the small knives you want on an airplane now. Now, the Transport Workers Union, representing thousands of flights, called the new policy dangerous and short-sighted. Now, isn't that interesting? Suddenly, they say everything is so safe, we're not going to have these rules anymore. You can bring all the knives on you know, fence. They said that box cutters were used. Box cutters were used by these 19 terrorists on 9/11. Now, I propose to you that these knives, these folding knives, you know, all of them are folding except just regular kitchen and hunting type knives. They're even going to allow you to bring your golf clubs on board. I guess you can get out of the golf club and take a big swing at a stewardess anytime you want. Of course, you'll be in trouble for it, but, I mean, after all. TSA said that they just don't have enough people to do all that checking. Now, we're spending billions and billions of dollars. We didn't even have a TSA before. Every airport did its own security. That was probably the problem, were those 9/11 airplanes where the people got on board up in Boston's Logan Airport, the Israelis were running security. They got the contract. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. The Israelis had the security. Now, the Transportation Safety Agency says this is okay to have billy clubs and bats and knives on airplanes. It's okay because it's an international rule. And you know it is. It comports with the International Transport Association. Well, you can take a golf club, a hockey stick, whatever you want to on the, and the pilots and the airline, you know, attendants don't agree with this. They want to keep the harsher rules. Now you can take scissors and needles and tweezers and all kind of stuff on there. I think something strange about this, don't you, friends? I think they've been wasting our time all these years, treating us like prisoners. And now they've lessened up. They've lightened up. They know it's ridiculous. They've known for a long time. Go down to Mexico City or Quebec, they don't have these rules. Go to Ireland or Scotland or Romania or Hungary, they don't have these same rules. So the TSA is just getting in line and doing like everybody else does, which is exactly what they should do. But they should have done it years ago. I just don't quite get it. Could it be that they really never have had any terrorism at all? I've never seen any. Oh, they complain about somebody having a bomb in his crotch? A crotch bomb? Somebody had a bomb in his shoes? Oh, that sort of turned out a little hokey. Hey, what about this? The Denver Post has ran it. By the way, it's been in the Associated Press. It's everywhere. Says the Homeland Security Department, the Homeland Security, not the military, not the Defense Department, wants to buy 1.6 billion rounds of ammo. Now, you've heard about this, haven't you? Now, they don't want regular ammo. They want bad ammo. They want hollow point rounds. Those do more damage than other rounds. Now, this is forbidden by international law for use in war. It's forbidden. Our Defense Department can't even use it. But now they're going to get 1.6 billion rounds of ammo at the Homeland Security Department. Now let's think about this. Transportation Safety Administration is part of Homeland Security. They just come out and say, yeah, you can take a billy club, a golf stick, a baseball bat of a certain size, or even knives on board now, on board aircraft. And then the Homeland Security has ordered all this ammunition. Now let's think about the magnitude of this 1.6 billion rounds. At the height of the Iraq war, I have a statistic here, the Army was expending about 6 million rounds a month. At the height of the Iraq war, 6 million rounds a month. 6 million versus 1.6 billion. Where are they going to store all this ammunition? What are they going to do with it? Meanwhile, they've ordered 1,700 armed personnel carriers from a company called Navistar. This is in addition to heavily armed personnel carriers repatriated from Iraqi and Afghani theaters of operation. What are they going to do with these? Well, they say they're going to be driving them up and down the city streets in America, so people will get a chance to be looking at them and will be frightened of them. You know, when I was a young man, I would see these armed personnel carriers looking like giant, like, you know, almost like tanks, but they have wheels on them and such, in South Africa. And they were, you know, cordoning streets, and they were basically keeping the peace and keeping the blacks down. The blacks would riot there in South Africa. And they would use these huge personnel carriers, armed personnel carriers, to put down any violence. And I thought at the time, well, that's just terrible. You know, we went through all of the black turmoil of the 60s and early 70s. Remember the Los Angeles rioting? They head down there, and they never used any of these things. Now suddenly they're parceling them out and giving them to all of the local police departments. You may be seeing them in your little small town. Can you imagine a big armed personnel carrier tearing up the streets, going up and down? It's ridiculous. They all have gun ports. They're mine resistant. Now, it just seems like something is going to happen in America. They're getting ready for something very, very big. Why is the federal government deploying armed personnel carriers and stockpiling enough ammo for what, a 50-year war? Are they expecting a 50-year war from who? Well, now, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, they say that the white domestic terrorist is the problem. I hadn't seen any white domestic terrorist. Then I looked in the mirror this morning, I saw one. Well, I don't have a, you know, I've got one gun in my house, one gun. That's all I've got. It could do some damage. I know it could. I keep it very handy at night while I'm sleeping in case I'm, you know, rudely awakened, not by Wanda, but by somebody else. Well, they're going to get a real surprise. I just have one gun. Now, I don't see anything wrong with having 20 or 30 or 50. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it at all. It looks like our own government has chosen to call you and me a potential domestic terrorist. And the Southern Poverty Law Center, I mean, you know, well, yeah. Of course, those are Jewish rabble-rousers. Morris Deese runs it. He's a big liberal provocateur. You know, I'm a friendly man. I haven't been I can't think since I was a kid that I was in a fight. And even then, I didn't start it. I'm not fighting anybody. I've never hit anybody. I've never threatened anybody. I have a gun for protection. But I guess I'm a white domestic terrorist. Jerry, you must be one too over there at the soundboard. You must be a domestic. You look like one. Yeah, you look like one. No, he really doesn't. He looks very orderly and very nice. But he owns two horses and some dogs. He could take out on those horses and those dogs, and you could be chasing those federal troops. And do you have any guns? He's got two guns. Oh, yes. We found it all. They're right here. Power of Prophecy is the center of the white domestic terrorist threat. We got a man with two guns here and a man with one gun. Oh, boy. I guess I admitted something I shouldn't have admitted. Well, when we come back, we're going to have some more admissions. And I'm going to tell you about the most horrible thing I've ever heard in my life. It is the most horrible thing that I've ever heard. Just is disgusting. I'll be right back, friends. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us, won't you? Hello, friends. Again, Tex Mars here. I would like to tell you about an opportunity that you have to perpetuate this ministry. Now, if you're a few years in age, like I am, I know you want to make your savings what you own, you want to give it purpose. You want to give it meaning in life. And I encourage you to leave us in your will. Why? Because we're the only ministry doing this today. I know there's some good people out there, and I praise God for them. But we're the only ministry that I know of that's standing up for America, standing up for the traditional things. And if you'll leave us in your will, we can continue to do that. Now, I don't know how much money you've got, or, you know, it doesn't matter to me. It can be $20 or $20,000. But we're going to use it for good. We're going to use your money for good. You go on and be with the Lord Jesus and leave us in your will. Now, if you've got a family and they need help, well, you leave them in your will. Don't worry about us. We'll, you know, God will take care of us. But if you really don't have a family, or maybe you feel like your family doesn't need the money, or, God, you know, forbid, they don't deserve it. I have some relatives like that myself. I hope you'll consider leaving to Power of Prophecy your, well, it doesn't really have to be money. Jerry, I remember the lady that left us her wedding ring, and her precious husband had gone on to be with the Lord, and then she went to a nursing home, and she said, I want you to have this, you know, this wedding ring. She said, I'm very close to being with the Lord Jesus. And, you know, what do we do with a wedding ring? I guess we can go down, and it's probably worth, I don't know, $1,000 or whatever. It's just a small little ring. We could get it priced and then put the money in the treasury here at Power of Prophecy. But she loved this ministry. That's all she had, was that wedding ring. You know, the nursing home had taken everything she had, but she had that wedding ring. And I think she thought, well, what am I going to do with this wedding ring? And she decided that Power of Prophecy would be the destination for that wedding ring. And I appreciated that. You know, friends, we have so many expenses here. And we have so many projects we'd like to take on. And most of them we can't. And most letters that are sent to me, I got one fact right here today. A lady, her parents have been sent to prison in Wyoming. And it appears to be a terrible case, tax fraud. But they did not defraud the government of taxes. It appears to me that maybe somebody in that area is conspiring with the IRS to get her parents. And they're in prison. And, you know, I'd like to investigate, but I don't have time. I don't have investigators. I do all my own research here. As Jerry here sitting next to me recording this will tell you, I mean, my office looks like a cyclone hit it. I've got papers and books every which way in here. I can barely find my way in the office but you know, I have to have that because I don't have anybody to file all my stuff for me and keep everything up. And I just go 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. I'm going. That's just the way I am. And that's what you're going to have here until the day that I die. Then we're going to continue on. God willing, we're going to continue on even after I pass away. Maybe that'll be many years in the future. And they're going to have to trump up charges or something to get a hold of me. I mean, they've already had the IRS come down a couple times, audited my personal income taxes. And then, boy, they really went after the ministry. They're not supposed to go back 3 years. I think they went back 4 years. And we're about due again for the whole shebang. It doesn't bother me. You know, we just kept on going. Invited them to come on in, have a cup of coffee. We know what you're here for. Our name, you know, is out there. And they admitted, well, you know, you're not a regular person. We've been ordered to audit you. You know, everybody in this area of the country, they're all audited by the Dallas or the Austin branches of the IRS. Well, I was ordered by the Silver Springs, Maryland. Silver Springs, Maryland, right next to Washington, D.C., ordered an audit. That means, well, turned out that it was the White House that ordered my audit. Well, they spent, I mean, months and months and months and months, and they didn't find anything. So they had to leave. I think, you know, the guy was just about to cry because he couldn't find anything wrong. Then the FBI comes to visit me about three or four times. Actually, I sort of like the FBI guys. They're real nice. And, you know, they thought that I was a raving lunatic terrorist or something, I guess. And, you know, I sat them down, had a cup of coffee with them, talked with them. I think they left thinking I was a pretty good guy. Maybe not. Maybe they've got me still on their radar. Haven't seen them down here for years. You know, friends, we're going to invite anybody, and we don't lock our doors and say, you can't come in here. We're doing secret things. We don't do anything that's secret at all. And I do have a plaque right above the door. When you walk in and out, you're going to look. There's a plaque, and it says that God is the one that openeth the door, and no man can shut it. At the same time, God shuts the door, and no man can open it. And that's what we believe here. God opens doors. No one can shut them. Not the IRS, not the FBI, no one. And if he shuts a door, no one's going to open it. Did I say that right? Anyway, if he wants it open or closed, then he gets his way. And that's what we've been doing here. God opens a door and we go in it. We trace it out. We find out what's going on there. But we do need more help. We need more help in paying our bills. We barely get by each month. But we do. And you know what? We don't owe anybody anything. We don't owe anybody anything for our building. We have paid cash for this whole building. I think it's an amazing thing that we don't owe anybody 1 cent. No bank, no finance organization. If we did, they would be able to tell us what to do, or they'd shut the loan down. No, we don't. Now, I've spent a little while here talking to you about our needs. We do have a need for funds. If you can afford to give to this ministry each month, please do so. Just send us cash or a check or however you want to send it, and we would so much appreciate it. At the same time, do include us in your will. Again, we don't know when Jesus is going to come again. I'm not going to be presumptuous and say, well, he's going to come next month, so don't worry about, you know. Well, no, that's not true. I don't know when he's going to come. I do know that things are looking very, very, wow, pretty imminent right now, aren't they? But it can get worse. It and I believe it will get worse before Jesus returns. So there again, I don't often ask you for your help, do I? Oh, I offer books and videos and such. But I never just come out and say, we need your help. We need your money. We do. Now, please, don't harm yourself. I mean, don't say, well, I'm going to give everything. I get only my Social Security check, and I'm going to send that to Tex Moores, and I'll just depend on the Lord Jesus to feed me this month. No, don't do that. Don't do that. You take care of yourself. You make sure you're okay. Then if you've got something left over, then you can give to us. And I think God will amplify it. He'll multiply it. He knows how to do those things. And he will. He'll make your $10 or $20 or $50 or $100 gift. He'll make it into $1,000 or $10,000. It'll do that much good. Because we're totally dedicated here. I think day and night about you in this ministry. And Wanda and I pray for those in the ministry every day that have sent us prayer requests. You say, well, I sent a prayer request. I didn't get an answer back. We prayed for you. We pray for you every morning at our breakfast table. We pray for you. So I want to hear from you if you've got a prayer need. If you've got some kind of a situation in your life, let us know. It's a privilege. It's not burdensome. It's not onerous to pray for you. It actually is a privilege. I enjoy it because I know that God is a rewarder of those who do pray. And if you have written to us and asked for prayer and God answered your prayer, would you please let me know? Say, Tex, I wanted a better job, or I needed finances, or I needed, you know, whatever your need is. You have a loved one that needs Jesus Christ in their life. Would you let me know if God answers your prayers? Now, it may not be overnight, but I think he's going to answer your prayers. He will. I don't care what you've got opposed against you. And man, we've had it here, haven't we? I mean, we've had people call us homosexuals. And they say they're going to be my worst nightmare. One guy said, I'm on my way right now. I'm about a mile from your ministry. Well, he never showed up. Well, you know, I don't know whether God stopped him or he stopped himself or he was just fibbing. But we have this all the time here. I don't tell you about it. Why? I don't like to complain, and I don't complain. You know what? We're protected. We're protected. Have we got guards outside, security people? No, no, we've got Jesus Christ watching us all the time. He's watching, watching. Wow, I feel protected. Okay, let's return to our regular program now. That wasn't so bad, is it? You know, about every 6 months or so, letting you know our needs. And we know that you'll respond as best you can. So you talk it over with Jesus. And if you can afford it, send us some help here. And if you cannot afford it without damaging yourself, well, just pray for us. I know you can afford to pray. And we appreciate it. Okay, now we're talking about secrets. And I want to tell you about the thing that it's just terrible. Now, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, there's a man on trial there. He's a doctor. His name is Kermit Gosnell. He's an infamous doctor, in my opinion. He's a monster. Now, he's been killing babies for a long time there. He has assistants that have been helping him. Now, one of the ladies that was assisting him is a woman named Adrienne Moton. Now, she got on the stand and witnessed to the guy. Let me tell you what she said. She was untrained when she went to work for Dr. Gosnell, who had a abortion house of horrors. She said she was doing anesthesia, even though she wasn't really qualified. And Dr. Gosnell led her in the murdering of little babies. You see, when a woman came in for an abortion, he would give abortions all the way to the end. Late-term abortions. And the babies were alive sometimes when they came out of the womb. That didn't stop Dr. Gosnell, according to the testimony of Miss Moton. Why, he snipped the spines in the necks of at least 10 fetuses, meaning babies, when she was there. I want you to think about that. A live baby comes out of the womb, ready to function in society, ready to be loved, to be taken into someone's arms, and to be treasured. And he takes his scissors and clips, sticks it in the back of the neck of the little baby, and clips their spinal cords. You read about things, in Soviet concentration camp gulags like this. No, I don't think I have read about this. Even in the Soviet gulags, I don't think they did horrors like this. It was called the Philadelphia Women's Medical Society. I've seen pictures of it on TV. The Philadelphia Women's Medical Society. And Dr. Kermit Gosnell was known in high society there in Philadelphia. Now, he's a black man, and his lawyer says that he's been targeted. Elitist and racist prosecution of a doctor who's only wanted to help the poor. This is a prosecutorial lynching of Dr. Kermit Gosnell. Don't they always claim that? They use the race card. This is an outrage, folks. Let me tell you, this guy made millions of dollars. When they raided his house, the police found $250,000 in cash in all kinds of places. He didn't pay his income tax. And The grand jury report is 281 pages long. Let me read to you how he gave back to the women of Philadelphia. Now, this grand jury report says this: the premises of his offices were dirty and unsanitary. Dr. Gosnell routinely relied on unlicensed and untrained staff to treat patients, conduct medical tests. His untrained staff administered medications without supervision. Gosnell also instructed unlicensed workers to sedate patients with dangerous drugs in his presence. He regularly performed abortions beyond the 24-week limit prescribed by law. As a result, viable babies were born, but Gosnell killed them by plunging scissors into their spinal cords. He taught his entire staff to do the same. Now, after 1993, the Pennsylvania Department of Health abruptly decided because the reproductive rights people, that's the pro-abortion, the pro-murderers, complained. They quit inspecting. So Dr. Gosnell had a free ride. Abortion clinics no longer being inspected, he had a free ride. It didn't matter whether it was a Democrat governor or a Republican governor. He did his grimy, murderous job. There's no place in hell for people like that, friends. Nope, there's no place in hell for people like that. Well, there is, I guess, but I don't want to even know about it. I don't even want to know about it. Hey, there's a guy out there named Valid. That's W-A-L-I-D. Shoebat. Sounds like a fake name. That's a real name. S-H-O-E-B-A-T. Now he's a Palestinian. Comes from the Middle East. Now he's going around all these churches telling them what a threat the Muslims are. He was on the radio program of a guy named Sid Roth. And people have been writing to me about this. Now, here's what one lady said to me. She said, I taped the TV program, and I'm glad I did. Let me tell you what happened during the program. Valid and Mr. Roth were talking when suddenly he quickly flashed the Diablo sign with his left hand. At the same moment, he mentioned the word Lucifer. Lucifer. I would love for you to see this for yourself, Pastor Morris. I believe this guy is a wolf in sheep's clothing. They'll do anything to deceive people. Yes, I do know that. I've never seen this TV program. I'm going to trust this precious couple. But I know Vali Shubat, and he's a big fake. And Sid Roth, well, he's just a big Jewish so-called Christian. But, of course, anything the Jews do is okay with Mr. Roth. Whether they massacre people or what, he doesn't really mind. That's just the way it goes. Well, let's see what else we got here. Seems like, I've talked about this before, the Queen James Bible. It's for sale now on Amazon. The Queen James Bible. Now, you know, I am a King James man. Why? Because the King James is the true Bible. And the history of it shows it. I'd like you to get the New Age Bibles, a book by Gail Ripplinger. You'll find the truth about the other Bibles. But King James, he commissioned experts, biblical authorities, to put together a new Bible. And over the centuries, the King James Bible Standard Version, the King James Standard Version, has been the reliable, truthful Bible. Now, I know it's got words like thee and thou in it, and it would be okay if they took out those words for me, but I don't know of a Bible version that's taken only those words out. Now, people told me that the new King James Bible would do so. It's just like the King James. It just took out the these and the thys and thines and all that. But I checked it out and I found out that wasn't so. It takes out a lot more. Now we have a slew of Bibles coming around, but the homosexuals, the queers said, you know, we don't have a bad enough Bible. We're gonna come up with our Bible and call it, just to spite the King James people, the Queen James. Q-U-E-E-N. And they've taken out all the verses that would offend homosexuals. Well, I haven't been watching it, but there's a new series on TV called The Bible. And a lot of people have been watching it, and they wrote and said, Tex, it seems like it's pretty good. But you know, they suck you in, and then suddenly, bingo. Suddenly not too good. Then it comes up, they've got a new segment of it that tells the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I anxiously waited for this segment. I didn't want to take my time, but I asked a couple friends, would you watch it for me and tell me what you think? Well, they've sent their report back now, and I'm privileged to tell you the whole series is a bunch of baloney. Here's what happens. First of all, the Sodom and Gomorrah, read about it in the Bible. They wanted those angels. They didn't know they were angels. They looked like good-looking men, fair men, the Bible says. And they went to Lot's house and said, send out those guys. Basically, they wanted to have sex with them. They wanted to know them. He said, why don't you take my daughters? They're virgins. I'll send them out for you. Now, he didn't really mean that. He was just mocking them. A big gang of homosexuals was out there wanting these men, these strangers that had come into town and went to Lot's house. They didn't know they were angels. They just thought they were awfully good-looking men. They wanted them. They wanted those strange guys. They didn't want those women, his daughters. That's why he said it here. You can take my daughters. Why don't you want them? No, we'll take the guys, they said. Well, the two angels, seeing as what was going on, told Lot, get your family and get out of town. Get out of here. We're going to destroy this place. The people of that city were struck blind, but Lot and his wife and his children, they all got out of town, but unfortunately she looked back. God told them, don't look back. Friends, that's a warning. When God tells you, don't look back, don't look back. If you've come to know Jesus Christ and he's cleaned up your life, don't go back to the old condition. You know, the Bible says that's like the dog returning to the vomit. And, don't look back. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Anyway, that's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. The homosexuals who demanded that Lot give up those men to them so they could have sex with them. That's what it was all about, but the TV version of the Bible doesn't have that at all. They're wicked men, sure, but they're not a bunch of homosexuals. Homosexuality is not the theme in the Bible television show. Now, Roma Downey, who was in that New Age show with that black woman, I forget her name. Do you remember her name? I can't even remember it. She's the old singer. Anyway, you can't trust these TV people. Roma Downey and her husband, Mr. Burnett, we're going to remain true to the Bible, they said. Baloney! They're true to the Queen James, and that's all. And after the Lot and his family have left the city, then the two angels turn into warrior ninjas and destroy everybody. I mean, one of them's got two swords, you know, wielding it back and forth and killing people. He's a ninja. Now, I didn't know that was in the Bible. In fact, I've read the Bible. It's not in there about ninjas killing the people. I mean, this is like some fourth grade made up myth. Oh, boy. Well, we go from the Queen James to the Gideons. You know, the Gideons has always been a wonderful organization. But the International Cabinet of the Gideons International, I've just discovered, has approved the English Standard Version as a replacement for the new King James Version. Now, they went from the King James Version which is a wonderful Bible, highly recommended, to the New King James Version. But that's not good enough for the Gideons. Now they've gone to the English Standard Version. Well, goodbye, Gideons. So long. We'll see you around. Hotels don't want them anyway. You know, the Gideons are the ones that put those Bibles in those hotel rooms. Not many hotels allow that anymore. Well, are guns the problem? Are guns the problem? Must be. It's what Dianne Feinstein, the Jewish gun grabber, says. Guns are the problem. Well, Walter Williams wrote a column, and he says they're not the problem at all. Why? He went to primary and secondary school during the 40s and 50s. He says one didn't hear of the kind of shooting mayhem that's become routine today. It wasn't because of strict firearm laws. They didn't have any back then. He says my replica of the 1902 Sears mail order catalog shows 35 pages of firearm advertisements. 35 pages in the Sears 1902 catalog. People sent in their money and the firearm was shipped. Can't do that nowadays. You know, back in the 1960s, some New York City public schools had shooting clubs. Students would compete in citywide shooting contests for university scholarships. I remember when I was a young man, I think I was in the fifth grade, and a student brought in a Japanese rifle his father had confiscated back in the Second World War. It was a real live, didn't have any ammunition with it, I don't think. He brought it to school. They had a show and tell day, or whatever you call those when you demonstrate. He brought it, right in the classroom. Nobody said a word, and everybody was, boy, we were all really admiring. We wanted to go see what that Japanese rifle was all about. He got up there and, you know, showed it to us and talked about it, and I think the young man got an A+. Today, if he drew a picture of a gun, if he drew a picture or used his hand to go bang, why, we'd hear about it in the press. They'd have out armored personnel carriers and SWAT teams and everything else, wouldn't they? Guns aren't the problem. They weren't the problem back then, and they're not the problem today. And they play up these incidents. Yeah, I know there was Aurora, Colorado, and there was Adam Lanza up in Newtown. But that's not many. When I know they're horrible incidents, either government-sponsored or by freaks, either way. We just have more communications. We have the television cameras. And then every time one of these gun incidents happens, we have the gun grabbers like Dianne Feinstein going nuts. Well, we've still got the Second Amendment, don't we, folks? No matter what Dianne Feinstein or Governor Cuomo or these other gun control nuts say, we've got the Second Amendment. That's it. That ends all the arguments. And it says the right to keep and bear a firearm will not be infringed. What part of infringed do they not understand? We've got the Second Amendment. They can't change it. They hate that. They hate it because we have the Bill of Rights. Let's keep them. Well, I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to a volume of Secrets today. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.